Ramsey TV.
I got a good one for you today. Well, actually, yes, I have good ones for you every day, but today I got a really good one for you, and I think it will be extremely helpful for you and yours. Welcome to another edition of MZTV, starting another week here of broadcast excellence. I'm happy to be able to talk to you. I got a call from a fellow believer yesterday, and this person was concerned, even worried, and you might have the same worry. And so let me know if this helps you. I think it will. This man said, "Martin, I feel guilty because I don't read the Bible much. I just haven't gotten into the Bible, and I feel bad about it, and I wonder if there's something wrong with me." And I said something to him that shocked him. And in a way, it might have tickled him. What I'm going to say might shock you as well. And I take a great professional risk to tell you this. But when I explain it, you'll understand. I probably haven't read the Bible in 5 years. I don't read the Bible. I'll tell you why. So you won't be alarmed. When I started this work, I read the Bible like 3 times, the whole thing, you know, of course. And then I started studying it, like constantly poring over it. I mean, you folks have seen my scriptures, right? All right, these are the scriptures of a guy who pours through the scriptures. So there came a time when the Word of God was in me. That God made these truths so alive to me that I didn't need to read the Bible every day, or the scriptures I prefer, because the scriptures were in me. Now I consult the scriptures many times. Maybe not every day, but certainly when I do my show, and I'm doing my show prep, of course I consult the scriptures. So I can consult the scriptures every day. But I don't read the Bible every day because, well, for one thing, reading the Bible is so ingrained in us when we're children or when we were in the Orthodox assembly as Christians. It's so ingrained in us that you're not a good Christian unless you read the Bible. And so a lot of teachers and preachers have read the Bible ministries, read through the Bible, and they have programs where you read through the Bible every day. And the way I used to hear it was 15 minutes a day of the Bible. I used to do this, my 15 minutes a day. I'm not saying it was bad for me. I don't think it's bad, but it could become that way when you put the word must in front of it, like must believers read the Bible. And it can become a thing that you do by rote, where you're just reading it like you're reading a magazine. You're thinking about something else. The words are getting in a jumble. You're just putting in your time, looking at your watch. Okay, there's my 15 minutes. Does God expect us to do that? The answer is no. But many people, even in the body of Christ, feel guilty. This is why you should not feel guilty. For one thing, this is why there are teachers. Teachers are set up by God to do this kind of thing. This is what teachers do. I'm not saying students don't do this either. Of course they do. I'm not setting myself up. Wait a minute. Yes, I am. Say I'm setting myself up. No, God has set me up as a teacher. Now, there's a fellow member of the body of Christ. I know I won't mention his name, but he would be appalled to hear me say that because he doesn't think there are any such things as teachers. Well, I beg to differ. Paul makes it clear in Ephesians that there are pastors, teachers, and evangelists active in the body of Christ today in order to feed the body of Christ. And just as in, this is an example, as in the old days where God gave the Levitical priesthood, he gave them a special job to tend the altars, and they were supported by the rest of the tribes. Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that this principle exists today in the body of Christ. And so my point is that many of you, you have families, you have children, you may be holding down one or two jobs, and you feel guilty, you don't have time to sit down and read the Bible, quote, like you should. I hear this all the time, like I should. And people have apologized to me over the years. Martin, all I have time for, I just listen to your show. Or I put on an MP3 from the Concordant Publishing Concern. I listen to Dean Huff or James Corum. And I get spiritual blessings from these guys. But I should read the Bible. Why? The men you're listening to are reading the Bible. They're doing it. They're consulting it. They're examining it minutely. Because this is their job. This is their job. They've been raised up for this purpose so that you don't have to. So they make all these tapes. I make all these videos, all these audios, and you can listen to it in your car, in your truck, while you're driving to work or driving home, and you're getting the Word of God because me and others, I and others, in the body of Christ, we have provided resources for you in the form of audios and videos. And we read the scriptures. I put scripture references down here on the screen all the time. And yes, I encourage you to consult these passages. If you doubt me, you can see it for yourself. And so, if you're one of these people, and I think there are a lot of you out there, you don't need to feel guilty about it. That guilt comes from an old Christian mantra, 15 minutes Bible reading a day. Or you don't feel that you're giving God his due if you're not reading his word religiously. Oh, that's not a real good word, is it? Religiously. I don't even read it. I consult it. I honor it. Sometimes I'll read it. I mean, I'm not saying I don't ever read it, but to sit down and say, well, time for my Bible reading, I don't do it. First of all, Paul says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. How many times have I told you if some evil government came along and took away my Bible, I wouldn't be worried. I mean, I would miss it. I like my Bible. You remember earlier this year, I left it in a rental car in Cleveland. My sister retrieved it. I was glad to get my scriptures back. But I wouldn't panic because the Word of God dwells in me. I know the truth. The truth has set me free. The scriptures did their job in me. And now, technically, I can survive without them. Now, not before. Before I needed it or I needed somebody to get it and tell me about it to give me the verses, not saying I don't need the scriptures. I'm just saying now that the scriptures, the word of God, the living word of God that was inspired by God, given to several writers, the key writer for us being the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the nations. Now that I've imbibed them that and processed it and learned it, it's become a part of my fiber, my fabric, my being. It's close to me. It's on the top of my head all the time. Top of my head, the tip of my tongue, the bottom of my happy feet, the Word of God is in me. So why do I need to engage in some rote enterprise just to ease my guilt? I don't, and you don't either. Because it's much easier, isn't it, to watch a video than to plow through the scriptures? Yeah. Of course, I would like you to check up on me and look at things for yourself, but you don't have to. Must you do this? No. A former co-laborer of mine used to tell people that they should read through the entire Bible every year. Why? This particular individual was extremely knowledgeable in many, many details of the Old Testament. Knows the Old Testament better than I do, better than most people on the planet. And because he knew it so well, he thought that was a good prescription for everybody else. And he hammered it so much, read the Bible once a year, that people started to feel bad that they couldn't do it. Who the hell wants to read 2 Chronicles? Who the hell wants to read Leviticus? Nobody. It's the Old Covenant. There are reasons to refer to it. But to sit down and plow through Isaiah, I mean, Isaiah's got great stuff in there. We all know that. Better stuff than 2 Chronicles, in my humble opinion. Read Isaiah if you want to, but must you? No. Those letters came to Israel. I will even make the bold claim that you don't need to read any of the Old Covenant writings. You don't need to read any of the Old Covenant writings that came to the circumcision. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Are you really hearing this from me? Yes, you are. The most critical letters for you to read are the letters of the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul is specifically the apostle to the nations. That's us. And everything you need to know is in Paul. The objection might come, yeah, but Paul references many Old Testament things. He references Abraham, for instance, in a big way. He references Sarah and Hagar and Moses. Okay, fair enough. So if it's important to Paul to make an example, then it is important for me to look at his example, go back into the writings that Paul is referencing, and find out what he's talking about. That's called referring to the scriptures. That's called, yeah, I'll stick with referring. That's a good word. Yeah. So if it's important to Paul, it should be important to us. But even then, we can take Paul's reference, for instance, to Abraham, and many times the context itself is self-explanatory. Paul calls Abraham the father of faith, and he relates to us in Romans what God said to Abraham, a father of many nations, I have appointed you. Okay, so why do I need to go back and look at the original context? I don't. Paul just laid it out for me. Okay, Abraham the father of faith. So you don't need to panic. Teachers, and yes, there are teachers, do the hard work so that you can watch a video and get it, right? The teachers break down the rock. The teachers bring the marble. Yeah, they bring the marble from the quarry. They do the hard work. They haul it on their backs, take it down to the studio. They hammer it and they chisel it and then they shine it and polish it, and then they present it to you, all done, here it is. And you go, oh, I get it, that's a great truth, thank you, Michelangelo. You're welcome. I am the Michelangelo of the scriptures. I go to the high place, to the rocky place, to the hard place, and I look up these words for you. I study etymology, I study figures of speech, I study English language. I bring it back to my laboratory, to my studio, and I shape it, I form it, I sculpt it, I polish it, and then I turn my microphone and my camera on. And here we are. Here we are. So I will not have you feel guilty for not reading your Bible. Take advantage of me, of other teachers. I'm not the only one. Other teachers in the body of Christ who have worked hard to make it easier for you. That's why we're here. I'm not telling anybody not to read the scriptures. Of course, if it's your heart desire to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, then go for it. But I am not challenging you to do it. I am not slyly shaming you if you don't do it. I understand completely why you wouldn't want to do it, because the Bible is a very, very difficult book to read. What I'm telling you is not to feel guilty about it. And as you go, as you understand the truth, either from reading it yourself or from hearing from qualified teachers and evangelists, that word will become a part of you. It will be on your mind, on your tongue, and on your happy feet constantly, as it is with me, constantly. These verses and these truths that came from the scriptures are humming and vibrating, pulsating within me, in my heart, in my soul, in my spirit. So if somebody were to come and take my scriptures away, my physical copy, I could survive quite nicely. Thank you very much, and so could you.